Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's good to see all of you here this morning as we come together and worship. It has been a great morning so far here in the life of the church, and so very happy to see all of you here. Today, I'm going to be kind of continuing my little talk about, you know, just some things that I've thought about since being, you know, since the last moments of my convalescence. And I want to start off with this question for all of us here today is, have you ever heard of the saying that life is a marathon and not a sprint? Yeah. You know, when someone is saying that, what they're advising to someone is when you see your life as a marathon and not a sprint, you become more focused on the process and not only the finish line. Well, that's right, unless you were the Greek herald Philippides. You see, in 490 BC, when the Greeks defeated the Persians, Philippides saw the Persian ships suddenly leave. And fearing that they were about to go around the Greek army to Athens and to claim victory anyway, he began to run from the battlefield to Athens to give what the Greeks called the Evangelion, the proclamation of victory, to tell the people what had happened and to declare to them that they were free from Persian rule. Now, legend has it that when Philippides gave the message to the Athenians, he collapsed and died. He had run 26 miles from Marathon, the place of the battlefield, to Athens to share the Evangelion to the people. Now, that legendary journey has been immortalized in the sporting event we call the marathon. The marathon was first introduced in the first modern Olympic Games in 1896 in Athens. And the people who organized the modern Olympic Games wanted some type of event that really captured the spirit of the Greeks. And so that was when the first marathon was run in 1896, and of course today there are marathons all the time all over the place. I will say this, you know, thinking about that I've learned in the last few weeks that life is a marathon and not a sprint, and in a couple of ways, really. As I think everyone knows by now, I had surgery 6 weeks ago. I had a gastric sleeve surgery and a hiatal hernia repair. And you know, not to go into details, basically they just went in and did some replumbing, like you would a house. And as of last week, I have been released from my surgeon to resume any physical activity I wished. And although I'm still on a very reduced calorie diet and I'm still on, you know, not able to eat most things, you know, you get bored, you get tired, and I wanted to get out and do some things. So that's what I did. This last week, I did some physical things. And what I found out was this, that although I have been released from my surgeon to resume any physical activity I wished, my body has not yet released me to go and do any physical activity I wish. It was a moment when I had to remember that in this recovery, that life is a marathon and not a sprint. But I really want to talk about a different way to understand that phrase, life is a marathon and not a sprint. You know, like I said, I really wanted to get outside and do things because for a whole month I was basically stuck inside. Not only stuck inside, unable to really do anything, you know, unable to even pick up either one of my cats because they're fat and weigh more than 10 pounds. In fact, I have one cat that weighs 23 pounds. I don't like picking him up anyway. So all I could do was either watch Netflix or think. And of course, after I finished Netflix, I began to think. It was much like many of you did when the world stopped during the pandemic, right? You know, you're all of a sudden at home, and you're tired of watching TV. You know, you start thinking. You start thinking about the first order questions, right? What is my purpose? Am I wasting my life away? Well, do I want to continue what I've been doing? I think that's why so many people after the pandemic decided to do some major life changes. You've heard about the Great Resignation, right, that's happened so far, that there have been a ton of changes. There have been career changes. There have been school changes. Many college students suddenly figured out, I don't want to do this. And so they're changing majors even more. Relationship changes, location changes, all because we actually had enough time to stop and to think and to take stock in our life and decided that, well, you know what? Something must change. Now, it is an interesting exercise to sit and think. I don't think we do it quite enough. In 48 years, my life, that's what I was thinking about. I was thinking about these last 48 years, especially the last 30 years. And in these last years, my life has taken some interesting turns and twists, as most of yours probably has as well. And trust me, 30 years ago, I'd been 18 years old. And if you would have told my 18-year-old self that I would be a pastor, I would have laughed in your face. Not only that, if you would have told other people that knew me that I would be a pastor, they would have laughed in your face as well. Because I wasn't the best person, you see. Yet here I am, I'm in front of you this morning, and the question is, what happened? What happened? And really, all I can tell you is that at some point, I finally heard the evangelion, the proclamation of victory. Now, we have another word for evangelion in today's English, the word we more commonly use is gospel. Gospel. So in today's scripture, Paul talks about the gospel, centering on Jesus Christ and how through Jesus Christ we've been given victory. We have been given freedom. As Paul says, for in Jesus all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile all things to himself, whether it be here in earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. And you, who once were estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. And then Paul says these words, and it's not an afterthought. I think these may be the most important words of the passage. It's when Paul says, I, Paul, became a servant of the gospel. After Paul was changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, he himself became a herald. He himself became a marathoner. He himself became a Philippides, sharing the evangelion all over the Roman world. Now, looking back at my 18-year-old self, like I said, I wasn't the best person. Now, I wasn't a felon or anything. No, I haven't done anything that bad. But let's just say that I was a handful. But moreover, I knew I wasn't the best person. When my thoughts would center on God, I would begin to think about what I had done because I was a selfish person. And so anytime I would think about God, I would think about myself. I would realize who I was and what I was. And I would just begin to wonder, you know, when is God going to finally come down and extract his punishment on me for all the things that I have done wrong in life? Yet one day, a couple years later, I heard the evangelion. Now, mind you, I've heard that. I mean, I went to church as a kid over and over. Maybe I'm just thick-headed. But I finally heard the evangelion. Something clicked. And I realized that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I realized that Jesus, God himself, gave himself up for me. And when I realized that, and when I realized that this is not a God of vengeance, but of mercy, I began to trust in his gracious love. That's when everything changed. Repeating that last part of the scripture for today, Paul says, "And you who once were estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, God has now reconciled us in his fleshly body through death." That is his way of saying in Jesus Christ, so as to present us holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. And the word that just catches me is reconciled. Reconciled. Not because of anything I have done, but because of what Jesus, God incarnate, has done. We are reconciled, not because of anything that we have done, but because of what Jesus, God incarnate, has done. This is the evangelion. This is the gospel truth. This is good news. And as much as I've lamented about my convalescence, and please understand, this will be the last time I talk about my convalescence in the church. We are moving on after this Sunday. I am so thankful for the time to think and to remember about why I do what I do. And when I say that life is a marathon and not a sprint, I say that thinking about Philippides and him running to tell that message back to his beloved city of Athens. I say that thinking about Paul, thinking about all the places he traveled in his life and the many churches he went to share and to start and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm realizing that my purpose in life, our purpose in life, is to be a herald for the evangelion, the proclamation of victory, the gospel truth to anyone and everyone we meet. The proclamation that God so loved the world that he gave his son so that no one should perish, but that we may have eternal, but not only eternal, but purposeful and abundant life. There are so many who need to hear this message today. There are so many who need to hear the gospel truth, but honestly, I think that we all need to hear it from time to time. I think that too often we are sprinting way too much. We are sprinting from one place to another so fast that we forget what this is really all about. We forget that life is not as much about what we do, but rather whose we are. Maybe you, maybe like me, need to hear the gospel truth this morning so that we again can be reminded of what God has done for us. As for me, I can think of nothing better to do with the time I have left on earth than to share the Evangelion to whomever might listen. And my prayer for each of you this morning is that if you have heard the Evangelion, if you have heard the gospel, if you have heard the good news of God's gracious love for us, that you might join me and others and sharing it with the world, and sharing it with those around us. Friends, the victory has been won through Jesus Christ. We have been reconciled to God. This is the gospel truth. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.